Blog Talk Radio.
Marvelous grace of our Lord. Amen, brothers and sisters. Let us begin with a word of prayer. Our Father in heaven, Lord, as we come to this prayer line at this time, Father, we pray, dear Lord, for thine Holy Spirit first to be with us on this evening. And dear Lord, as we lift this prayer line up to you, Lord, we know this is the work of the Lord and nothing that we have, Lord, but Lord, this is your work, Father, that we shall come and worthy and prepared on the prayer line, that we will do all we can do, Lord Father, to host or to help or to teach people. Oh, Father, ask that you, dear Lord, as you bring everyone on this prayer line, Lord, with the knowledge to share with those on the prayer line. Father, we just thank you for the blessing that you have been with this prayer line, giving us the wisdom and the understanding to do your will. So, Father, I ask that you bless each and every one, Lord, Father, even those that we have not heard from, Lord. I'm asking that you continue to touch their heart and, Lord, and bring them to the prayer line to give you glory, Father. It's nothing about any one of us, Lord, but it's all about you, Jesus. So we thank you, Father, and we even thank you for all the lines that you are guiding people on, Lord, to minister your word. So, Father, we thank you once again, and we ask that you bless all the speakers that be on this prayer line tonight. Father, we thank you in your Son Jesus' name, and we do ask for the Holy Spirit upon this prayer line to lead and guide us and teach us your will, Father. In the name of Jesus, we do pray. Amen. And we thank you, brothers and sisters, for coming on to share with us. And we also ask that you press 1 and that you can, your line will be open and you can share and give your testimony, scripture reading, or however God lead you and whatever you would like to give. So we ask that you please press 1 and you can share. Amen. But I would like to just share a scripture. Let me open this line first. Yes, press 1. So we're going to open the line for 3018. Your line is open. Give me just a second.
Hi, good evening. Good evening. This is Stephanie. Hi, Sister Leola. I have a quick praise report now, and I have a scripture. So I don't know if you want me to give the praise report and then come back on to do the scripture. You just let me know how you'd like for me to do that.
You can do the scripture, and you can do whatever. So we love to hear you give the speech. So please go ahead.
Okay. So we do a great controversy Bible study lesson session online now, right? So we've been doing it for over 2 years now, but we were actually meeting in the brick and mortar at the church once a month. And so with us being quarantined, we were home. And so what the enemy worked for bad, God turned it out to be good for us, Romans 8:28. And so We have been doing it every week, every Sabbath, since we have been quarantined. And we have gotten a lot of different individuals that are not of the Adventist faith. And they come on and they are just giving these praise report of how God is moving on them and moving in their hearts, and they're learning so much, things that they've never learned before. So I want to just give a praise report for that, because God knows everything. And once we're obedient and once we walk in his light and walk in his path, he will certainly get all the blessing and all the glory. So I just want you to pray for those individuals who come on. My other praise report is that I received a text message from someone else. She is an Adventist, but her brother is not. And I got the message this morning, and she, you know, she was like, I have a brother, and I know, you know, he wants to learn so much about the Sabbath, and I know God led me to you to so that you're able to explain it to him. And I told her, it's not going to be me, it's going to be the Holy Spirit, because my little monkey brain can't really, you know, I don't know anything, but I'm going to pray that the Holy Spirit lead me to tell him and share with him, you know, the right thing. And so I called him this morning, because we need to be obedient, right? So I called him this morning early, and he answered the phone. And that was nothing but God, because I know for me, beloved, their phone numbers that I don't know. So he answered the phone number early this morning. And so I said, I know you don't know who this is, but I know your sister, and my name is so-and-so. And I want to, you know, she asked me to reach out to you because you had some questions about the Sabbath. I said, well, if you want to go now, I can certainly do that. But if you would like to call me back and let me know, you know, when you want to study, that's fine too. And he said, well, I'm definitely going to call you back, because he was listening to his Sunday pastor, right? And so he called me back. I missed the call. But, beloved, I'm asking you to pray that this young man, MB, that's his initial, will be receptive, and God will use me as the vessel to spread this word to this man, all right? So that is my praise report and my prayer request in one. And because I took so much time, I think I'm going to come back on with the prayer, with the scripture. That's okay.
You are right. You are right, sister. And I just want to share, because what I was about to read, is this is something to add to what you are doing. Because I am a firm believer of, you know, sharing that gospel. And Sister Stephanie, I remember when I became Adventist, I was very, I had a zeal to share that word. And I said, Lord, whom amongst the people I can share the word that can get a broad, a wide, and many people? And I said, you know what, the pastors. So I began to share God's word, great controversy, all the books I've had. Sister, I went and put it on their step, or I met the pastors on Sunday. And let me tell you something. I met a couple of pastors, and he said, well, I'm going to show study it. I met big pastors in the town where I moved from, in Homer, where I was raised.
Praise God. And I would take all
that literature. And let me tell you something. Some receive it with gladness. Well, whether they're ready or not, I pray for it just like you want to pray. So I just want to read a scripture before. I want to read you something before you say your other information. So let me give this to you right quick. This is something I was studying before I came on the line yesterday with you guys. And this is what, and I finished it last night because I couldn't. Stay awoke yesterday. I was falling asleep, and by the time I woke about 2 o'clock, 2:30 yesterday, I was right on time for you guys. So this is what I finished last night. It said, "What to do when the mark of the beast is enforced?" I have 10 things, Sister Stephanie, and the first one, I looked up a couple of scriptures just to give on the prayer line to my brothers and sisters. And the first one says to ensure you have a living connection with Christ, commitment, decision for Christ to be your Lord of your life. And he has like 10 different things. And I'm just going to read these things just right quick and share it. And the number two was pray the Lord will hold the wind of strife until the third angel work is done. 3, if you live in the Lord's city, follow Christ's instruction. Leave immediately. Don't wait. And all these 10 things that I'm reading out, he gave every scripture and prophecy backing it up why he gave these 10 reasons when the mark of the beast is in force. And these are the things, what I'm reading to you, we did this yesterday. And
okay,
number 4
okay.
says, realize that God's destructive judgment are about to be poured out. I'm going to read them right quick. It says, take your Bibles and other literature and go visit those closest to you, warning them what is coming. 6, be prepared for persecution and imprisonment. 7, realize that the latter rain is needed now. Be praying for it. 8, be prepared for medical missionary. 9, pray for wisdom to dispose quickly what you don't need. What you don't need, I'm telling you. They realize that a great shaking along with spiritual darkness will soon surround the people. Therefore, pray for your brothers and sisters and for faith to withstand the trial. So all these 10 things just about we studied yesterday.
Praise
while
God.
While we were on
God.
The prayer line. So I just want to thank God. And these are the things I was going to do a study tonight. So I'm going to stop here, and I'm going to let you continue at this moment.
Okay.
Get a couple of us on here, and so you can continue.
All right.
You
thank
continue.
You so much
okay.
for that. Thank you so much for that, Sister Leola. And I wrote those 10 things down, so I appreciate you sharing that with us. And so my scripture, I thought this was fitting with so many things that are going on around us. We can remember that even in the storm and the trial, we are to bless God. So I read this yesterday. Holy Spirit had led me to it. And it was very uplifting to others. So I will come back again today and I will read Psalms 103. And it says, verse 1, bless the Lord, O my soul. And all that is within me, bless his holy name. Verse 2, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. 3, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. 4, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. 5, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. Verse 6, the Lord executed righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. 7, he made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. 8 says, the Lord is merciful and gracious,
mm-hmm.
slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. So I'm going to stop there. But, beloved, you can read verses 9 through 22. This is such a beautiful, beautiful chapter. Bless the Lord. No matter what you're going through, beloved, we can bless the Lord because he promised us all of these things to supply our need, to keep diseases away from us. So we don't have to let our heart be troubled, beloved. We just need to give it to God, and he will certainly give you all the benefits that he have in store for you. All right? Have a blessed one.
Sister Stephanie, can
yes.
you please tell me that Psalms again, please?
It is Psalms 103, and I read from verse 1 through verse 8, because of time. But, beloved, y'all could read from 9 through 23.
So I'm just going to put 1 through 23. Is that okay?
Absolutely. Yes, 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 yes. Because verse 20 says, bless the Lord. He is angel. He is angels that excel in strength and do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. 21 says, bless ye the Lord, all ye his host, a minister of his that do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, verse 23. All his works in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. It is such comforting, you know, Psalms for me. So I hope it is the same for you too, beloved. All right?
Oh, amen, amen. I am blessed. I am blessed in hearing you sharing these things because I was blessed also yesterday. So I just want to thank you for everything as I continue to come on and listen. Amen?
Praise God. To God be the glory. Keep lifting us up, okay?
Oh, amen. And do the same. So we thank you once again, Sister Stephanie, for coming on and sharing with us. And God will continue to bless you. Amen.
Praise God.
And
praise God. Thank you.
Amen. And sisters and brothers, I want to read just one scripture before we go into, we open the next line. Sisters and brothers, I will open the next line right after I read this scripture. And sisters and brothers, I wanted to read that scripture with you, the things we need to do when this beast is in force. It says, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by grace of God shall taste death for every man. So let us open the line for our next caller, Sister Power. I know that's my sister. Have her number pressed. So let us open the line for my sister. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord, brothers and sisters. God is so good. He's so great. This is Sister Powell calling from upstate New York. Thank you, Sister Carla, for opening my line. Thank you, Sister Steffi, for, you know, that praise report and also the scripture passage. And you guys know that Psalms 103 is my favorite psalm. That psalms I always depend upon because I know that we can have a Father, the sick Father, which is in heaven, the most holy sanctuary, especially when we are coming down with all these diseases and sickness. We can go to him, and as he said, bless the Lord, O my soul, who healeth all our disease. So not some of our disease, brothers and sisters. We have COVID-19, so the Lord is saying to us here that he can heal COVID-19 and even COVID-20. He can do all diseases. So I just want to give God thanks for these wonderful words again of encouragement, and thanks Sister Stephanie for joining us on the line. And also the praise report for the brother who want to feed upon the word of truth and the word of light. And we know those are the seeds have been planted from the sister. She had got that seed and it planted within her, and she goes out to minister to others. So she's doing evangelist, right? This evangelist is working out there in the field to share God's word. So I will just sing this little song because, dear Father, we know that, you know what, is only God can help us in this time. And because of these seeds, we want the seeds to sow that we can all harvest it, right? Just listen to the word. Sowing in the morning, sowing in the evening, sowing seeds of kindness, sowing in the noontide and the dewy, waiting for the harvest and the time of reaping, we shall come to joy, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves. We shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheep. We shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheep. Sowing in the sunshine, sowing in the shadows, fearing neither clouds nor winter chilling breeze. by and by the harvest and the labor's ended, we shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves. We shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves, going forth with reaping, sowing for the Master, to the lost sustained our spirit oft increase. When our reaping's over, He will bid us welcome. We shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves. We shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves. Glory. Thank you, Sister Leola, for opening my line. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
Bringing in the sheaves, Sister Powell. Oh, Sister Powell, I was out there at that laundromat bringing in the sheaves. So, Sister Powell, I just to bring his people to him, because you know what? I want to see that day. The Lord said I can have a star in my crown, so I want to bring in all the sheaves I can. So thank God
Amen.
For that. So we're going to.
Amen.
So
thank you,
thank you
Jesus.
For that.
Yeah.
Yes, thank you for that song. And thank you for the encouraging words. And Sister Powell, we're going to open Brother Eli, because you know Brother Eli can't wait to get on. So we're going to open his line that he can give his, share his word. Amen. So Brother Eli, we are opening your line. Amen.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Thank you, Sister Mia and Sister Powell. My name is Brother Eli. First of all, I like to thank God, because God is good. He is worthy. He is worthy to be praised. Sister Mule and Sister Carl, God is good. God is awesome. He's the Alpha and Omega. There's no one else like him. He is El Shaddai Adonai. There is no one else like him. Sister Powell and Sister Mule, I have a prayer request tonight. My prayer request tonight is to pray for my mother. Pray for my mother in prayer. Pray for me. Lift me up in prayer. And don't forget to pray for Brother Gerardi, Sister Mule, because he needs a lot of prayer. And Sister Mule, I tell Sister Powell to give Brother Gerardi a call. I say, Sister Powell, don't forget to give him a call to come on the prayer line. But I'm asking for Sister Powell to pray for him at this moment. Pray for Brother Gerardi, because he needs a lot of prayer. And Sister Miola and Sister Powell, may God continue to bless us, Sister Stephanie, on this prayer line. I have been like ministry. Stephanie, the Lord is good. God is faithful. He is worthy. He is worthy to be praised.
Amen.
Because he is definitely, you have to shout hallelujah. You have to shout hallelujah. You have to shout hallelujah on this prayer line, because
Amen.
God is good. He's awesome. Sister Stephanie and Sister Miola and Sister Powell, let's shout hallelujah, 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 hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Brother Eli.
Sister Powell, Sister Miola, pray for Brother Johnny. Amen.
Yes. All right. Thank you, Brother Eli. Yes, and hallelujah to the Lord, God our King. So we're going to go into prayers, because Brother Akeem will be on. Brothers and sisters, he have a message that he need to finish in Daniel, and we will open the line for Brother Akeem in a few minutes, but we have to go into prayers. He will join us in the next 3 to 4 minutes or 5 minutes or whatever. So can I get a prayer, brothers and sisters? Sister Stephanie, do you mind saying a prayer for us? Let's open your line, if you don't mind. Or if you're busy, you can tell me, and I'll just ask Sister Powell.
Hello?
Would you mind saying a prayer?
Certainly not. I don't mind.
Okay, well, you heard the request Brother Eli have made?
I didn't hear Brother Eli's request. Did you want to give it to me?
Yes, ma'am. He's asking for a request for Brother Jahari. Pray for his mother and himself and his friends at the house, at the job where they work and where they all are. He wants them lifted up in prayer. And also we would like to pray for this crisis that's going on in the world and lift up Sister Power and myself and the family in the prayer line. That's it, Sister. You can go ahead and begin.
Okay.
And the speaker going to be coming on. You can pray for him also.
Who's the speaker? I heard you said Hakeem.
Brother Hakeem James.
Okay, Brother Hakeem. Thank you for that. All right, let's bow our heads, beloved. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you, God. We know that you are the great I Am, Lord. Lord, we want to first and foremost say thank you so much for this opportunity, Lord, where we can lift your name up. God, we could come and we could learn more about you on this prayer line, God. Lord, you heard the petition of your people. You heard Brother Eli, who is asking for prayer for Brother Jahari. Lord, you know what Brother Jahari stands in need of, God. You told us. I was thinking about this. You told us that you know the very number of hair that are on our head, God. So we know that we're special in your sight. We're special to you. And so I know that Brother Jahari is special to you. And I don't know the circumstances, nor do I need to know the circumstances, God, because you know. God, I ask you, Lord, to touch him from the crown of his head to the sole of his feet, God. I ask you to send the Holy Spirit, God, to encamp around him, Lord, and bless him with enough of what he stands in need of, Lord. Lord, I pray for Brother Eli's mother, God. Lord, it is a privilege to have her mother still alive on this earth, Lord. So I pray an extra blessing for her, God. I pray that you provide healing for her if she stands in need of it, God. I pray that you provide her strength. I pray, God, that you draw her closer to you, God, so that she can be in your arm, God. She can be in your ark, Lord. So I thank you so much for that, Lord. Lord, I pray for Brother Eli, God. I guess I was a little bit distracted because I heard him on the line. And I remember when I used to come and visit my mom, Brother Eli used to call, right? And Brother Eli, God has touched him in a mighty way. So I thank God for how God has worked and healed him, God. And God, you have raised him up to encourage and to ask for prayers, Lord, because you told us that we are to pray without ceasing.
Yes,
so
Lord,
he is being one of your disciples to ask and cry out, God, for these individuals. So as we intercede, God, I ask you, Lord, to remove anything from me, God, that will stop and hinder this prayer to come up to you as you are in the most holy place in the heavenly sanctuary, advocating on our behalf, God. Lord, I present to you his friends and all the employees and everyone that he works with at his job, God. I ask you, Lord, to go by and touch their hearts, Lord. Agitate them with the Holy Spirit, God, so that they can see and come to know who you are, God. God, I lift up Sister Leola, Lord. Lord, you have given her this passion to do aggressive evangelism, God. And we so thank you for her, God. We ask you, Lord, to continue to order her steps, God. We ask you, Lord, continue to put an edge of protection around her, God, because we know that when you have your soldiers on the battlefield, we know that the enemy is going to come with all his fiery dart. But in the name of Jesus, God, we ask you to put an edge of protection around her so nothing will come nigh her, Lord. Lord, I pray for my mom, Lord, Sister Powell, God. I ask you, Lord, continue to strengthen her, God. Continue, Lord, to move in her life mightily, Lord, as she has such a desire, Lord, for you to save all our children, God. So I pray for all of my siblings, God. You know them by name, God. And I ask you
yes,
to go by and touch them, Lord. Remind them of all the things that was instilled in them at their youth, God. And, Lord, allow them, Lord, to draw even closer to you. Lord,
yes,
and I'm going to pray for this prayer line, Lord. It is really spreading your message, God. I ask you, Lord, to let your Holy Spirit permeate this line, God. Move and block the enemy, Lord, so the line will be clear and all the individuals that have called in, Lord, can come to hear exactly what you have them to hear, God. Lord, and as I linger just a little bit longer, I want to present to you, God, Brother MB, God. I ask you, Lord, to touch his heart, touch his ears, touch his mind. So when the information that is given to him, Lord, he will be able to accept it and come to your feet as the woman at the well went and called the whole city, God, to say, come, let me tell you about a man that could tell me all about me, God. Lord, I present to you our chat and chew line. Actually, God, I forgive me, your chat and chew line, Lord, for the individuals that you have brought on the line that are Sunday worshiper, Lord, let them come and be drawn to you, God, to your truth, Lord. Lord, I pray for the speaker of the hour, Brother Akeem James, God. I pray, God, that you touch his lips with coal, Lord, so that the message that is coming from heaven is going to come directly through his vessel, God. But we know that it is going to be from you, God. Lord, we ask you to give him a clear mind, Lord. Remove self from him, God, so that this message can fall on our ears, God, and let us fall to our knees, God, and find that we have a need for you, God. God, we bless your name. And as we read the scripture today, God, we ask you, Lord, God, to continue to hover around you, Lord, around us, God, and bless everyone that is on this line, God. I ask you all of these things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Sister Stephanie, for the prayer, for blessing all of us and lifting us up in prayer. Sister, I tell you, God is good hearing those prayers. Truly, he will bless us. He will keep us on this prayer line. So we're going to go to our brothers and sisters. We're going to our speaker right now, and we open the line for Brother Akeem, and we welcome him on this prayer line to bring the message. Brother Akeem, your line is open. And
all right,
I do not remember the question you asked, so so you can go ahead, and whatever you bring, God is willing.
Okay, no worries. So this evening we would be continuing in our study of Daniel, but I wanted to bring out a little more in light of what we studied in our last study, which I believe was the Sunday before last. And so as we continue in that vein, let's just have a word of prayer. Father in heaven, illuminate our minds and draw us ever closer to you, and help us to become all that you have called us to be. I pray that as we look at your word, our hearts will be filled and we will be strengthened. Pray and we ask these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. All right, so last time in Daniel 11, what we saw is that in verse 16, it says, but he that cometh against him shall do according to his will. And the he here that comes against this him, this he is in reference, this he in Daniel 11:16 is in reference to Rome. Rome was a small group at first, a small part of the Greek Empire, growing out of the Greek Empire, and ultimately becoming the dominant superpower of the world at the time of Antiochus Epiphanes, who was the king of the north at this moment in history, as we studied last time. This was thousands of years ago that we're looking at. And so as he was, Antiochus Epiphanes was the major leader of the north, Egypt at this time, being the major leader of the south, the king of the south, was looking for help and protection against the king of the north. And so they appeal to the rising power of Rome. And so Rome came, and on the behalf of Egypt, they made an alliance, and Egypt was then, while having an alliance with Rome, was subject to Rome. And as one that was their ally, Rome now was willing to fight for Egypt. And so they fought against, therefore, the king of the north who was coming against Egypt, and that was Antiochus Epiphanes. In other words, they stopped him from coming against Egypt, I would say. Not fought, but stopped. And so as a result of this, we see that Rome ends up becoming the new king of the north, protecting the south, but actually dominating or stopping the north, the king of the north, from coming against Egypt, the king of the south. Not only that, but another alliance was made at this time. It wasn't only an alliance made with Egypt and Rome, but there was an alliance made between the Jews and Rome. The family known as the Maccabee family, they made an alliance, I believe it is in 168 BC, they made an alliance with Rome for protection against Antiochus Epiphanes, who was blaspheming the sanctuary by sacrificing unclean animals in that sanctuary. And so they fought against Antiochus, and then finally realizing that they can only do it for so long, they appealed to the power of Rome, the civil arm of Rome, pagan Rome. And Rome came to their rescue and also protected them. And so Rome became so powerful that the statement in verse 16 states that Rome would do according to his own will. The same language is used earlier in Daniel chapter 11, speaking of Alexander the Great, who was able to do as he desired. He, friends, was fearless. And not only was he fearless, because he was fearless, he was able to conquer much of the entire then known world. That's why Greece ultimately became the superpower of the world. But after Alexander the Great died, it was divided among in 12 parts and ultimately dwindled down, according to the prophecy, to four major parts, and then at last to two major parts, the territories of the south, king of the south, and territories of the north, king of the north. And so that's what we have in Daniel chapter 11. And so the Greek empire was divided between the north and the south, but they were two sides of the same empire, Greece. Now Rome was rising, and as Rome rose, it rose to the point that it could do according to its own will, which means it had supreme civil power over the entire then known world. Rome was rising to become the superpower of the then known world. It says, and he shall stand in the glorious land, meaning, it says, which by his hand shall be consumed. And this is ultimately what happened. It's the idea that Rome, in making this confederacy with the Jewish people through the Maccabee family, ultimately would not only have authority over the Jewish nation, but would ultimately start giving problems to the Jewish nation. And this is why God had actually called Israel to rely on him fully, not to rely on powers that could lead them astray. And that's ultimately what happened with Rome. Rome ultimately not only dominated the people of God, but the people of God were dominated because they would not trust God. And so they relied on the arm of flesh, the arm of the civil power to protect them, not realizing that the same power that they would rely on would ultimately one day become their oppressors. And so this is a very interesting thing that happens here. And so in looking at this now, it says, interestingly enough, verse 16 tells us that Rome would do according to its own will, alluding to the reality that it would be the dominating power, the superpower of the then known world, having supreme and universal authority over the then known world. Now, friends, is this to happen again? Yes. And we read a little bit about it last week, but what we're going to see is that there's a huge parallel here. In Revelation chapter 13, verses 3 and 8, we understand that according to Bible prophecy, that pagan Rome, began to rule and reign around the 160s BC. They started to rise with such power that they could do whatever they wanted. And friends, as it was with pagan Rome, so later on it would be with papal Rome. During the time of the Dark Ages, during that period spanning from 538 AD to 1798 AD, 1,260 years, also known in scripture as time, times, and half a times, or 42 months, Rome would dominate the entire Christian and then known world during that period from 538 AD to 1798 AD. So we're seeing that pagan Rome dominated the world during the time of the Maccabees and the time of Antiochus Epiphanes. In the same way that while their power may have been broken up from around 476 AD, Rome became broken up and divided up. But within that empire of pagan Rome rose what would become papal Rome, in which we have reference to the papacy. And the papacy rising as a little horn would ultimately grow to become so powerful that it will dominate all of Christendom and all of Western Europe. All of the then known world was impacted by the Roman Catholic Church system. Now, that reign of the Roman Catholic Church system was interrupted, and Revelation chapter 13 and verse 3 mentions that time. It says in verse 3, "And I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast." Now, when was the deadly wound given? According to history, at the end of the 1,260-year period. In 1798, Napoleon actually sent his general to actually take the Pope over the Catholic Church at that time captive. And not only did France take the Pope captive, but that Pope died in captivity the very next year. But this happened all in 1798, where the captivity took place. And so the Catholic Church at that moment, its most ardent supporter of a civil power turned against it. France was one of the most ardent supporters of the papacy until 1798, when it turned against the papacy and it actually took the Pope captive, leaving the Catholic Church spiritually decapitated. In other words, spiritually it left the Catholic Church without a head, without a pope. But not only this, in France, turning against the papacy lost its civil power. And so we find out that, whoa, because just a few years later, they got another pope. But friends, the civil power that they once had was lost to them. And so what happened was in 1798, this is why there is a reference to the deadly wound. The mortal wound that the papacy received was that it lost its civil power that it used to execute people during the Dark Ages. And so as this happened, this is what is referenced in Revelation 13:3, "And I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death." That wound took place in 1798, the interruption of papal supremacy. But here's what the Bible says, "And his deadly wound was healed." So what this is telling us is that there is coming a time very soon in human history where the Catholic Church will once again regain civil authority. It has the religious authority. It is a worldwide system, but it lacks the civil power to execute its dogmas, to enforce its dogmas upon humanity. The Bible is telling us that that time will soon end. The papacy's wound of losing its civil power to enforce its religious belief systems will one day be restored. the deadly wound will be healed. And when that happens, all the world will wonder after the beast. Friends, I want to propose to you that this time is coming. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 24, and if you hold your fingers in Revelation chapter 13, we're going to Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24 says this. Matthew chapter 24, we know this text very well. Matthew chapter 24 and verses 6 onward. It says, "And you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet." So we would hear of tensions between nations. We will hear of wars and rumors of wars, of actual wars that could take place, and we will hear rumors of wars, the idea that war could take place. It says, "See that you are not shaken," or "see that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet." We see that today. It says, "For nation shall rise against a nation." Interestingly enough, we have seen that last week. We saw that. And we've been seeing that even before last week. The word nation there comes from the word ethnos. That it's the Greek word ethnos from which we derive the word ethnicity, speaking of different people groups, and also implying different racial groups that Jesus is mentioning. And so when he mentions nation against nation, what Jesus is really saying is that ethnicity would be against ethnicity. There will be ethnic tensions in the world. There will be racial tensions in the world. And not by coincidence, we saw something like that recently, very recently. This is not something that Jesus didn't know about, friends, but under inspiration, Jesus prophesied the racial tensions that we're seeing, the racial injustices that we are seeing in our world. And friends, he not only says that there will be racial tensions, but it says kingdom against kingdom. And this is alluding to temporal tension. The word temporal meaning political tension in the world, tension between civil leaders and countries. And so what is happening here is Jesus is revealing that there will be tensions among ethnic groups. There will be tensions among political groups. There will be wars and rumors of wars. And not only that, there will be tension within the natural world, because it says, "And there shall be famines, pestilences, earthquakes in diverse places." And so as we are seeing all of these things happening within society, pestilences such as COVID-19, as we're seeing all of these things taking place in society, friends, it's leading to a climactic struggle. And friends, we have been seeing that just within the past week, and even before that, with situations where people are protesting. Even before this racial issue, people were trying to protest as they felt that their rights were being infringed. People were protesting now as it concerns racial injustice. All of these things are happening, showing that we are potentially on the verge of a civil war. And this is why we truly have to be ready, because when that happens, I tell you the truth, my friends, the world will be looking for a solution. And I want to read this to you. You guys have heard me quote this statement before. This is found in Volume 5 of the manuscript releases, Volume 5, page 305 and 306. Many people thought that this statement that I'm about to read was very far-fetched. I was on social media a few months ago, and my friend actually said he was saying this based on what was in the spirit of prophecy, but he knew that he was connecting with a non-Adventist audience. And so instead of putting the quote up directly, he paraphrased the quote, made it into his own, and just summarized it. And he says, "Another civil war is coming." And as he said that, friends, people came on and started responding and making fun of him and laughing at it and saying, "Nah, that's not going to happen. That could never take place." This was just a few weeks ago. I think it was a month ago they were saying this. And so they were joking around, jesting in unbelief. And friends, how quickly things have changed. This is why, friends, we are told in manuscript releases, volume 5, page 305 and 306, in India, China, Russia, and the cities of America. Thousands of men and women are dying of starvation. The moneyed men, that's those who have the wealth, because they have the power, control the market. They purchase at low rates all they can obtain and then sell at greatly increased prices. Now, I wonder, what could this lead to? Next part of the statement, this means starvation to the poorer classes and will result in a civil war. There, and then the next statement, we know it very well, there will be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation. Now, for those who probably say, well, you know, this was written during the time of, how do you know this wasn't written during the time of the first civil war? When you look up the history behind that statement, friends, it was actually written in 1899, 30 years after the U.S. Civil War, over 30 years. And so we are talking, when she makes this statement, she is talking about that, not that which has taken place, but that which is coming. And even if we don't have the year, by the very final part of the statement, which says there will be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, that should give us a clue as to the fact that she's referencing the future. She's pointing to the future because that's taken directly from Daniel chapter 12 and verse 1. Now, as these things happen, friends, the world is going to be looking for a solution. And it is at that time that the man of sin, the papacy, the Roman Catholic Church system will come as the moral and claim to be the moral leader of the world. That's why it tells us here, and all the world wandered after the beast, because the world at this moment is looking for hope. And not by coincidence, the papacy is actually, the Pope of Rome is actually giving the idea that he can give moral guidance to the world. You guys have heard it. But not only that, in verse 8 it tells us, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship the beast, or worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Now, the reason that this is so crucial, as we're looking at this in comparison to Daniel chapter 11, is that just like pagan Rome was actually able to lead and be the superpower of the then known world, and just as the continuation of pagan Rome, which is papal Rome, did that again during the Dark Ages, during the time span of 538 to 1798 AD, so, friends, Rome will one day regain its power. And it will lead the world. Hence we read, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him. All the world will wander after the papal power. Friends, this time is coming. But the hope that we have is the latter part of verse 8. It says, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, but here's the catch, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. So the only ones that will worship him will be those whose names are not written in the Lamb's book of life. But friends, those whose names are written in the Lamb's book of life will become the ultimate threat to the papacy. And this is why we want to look at this. This is why Revelation chapter 13, the work of the beast, is followed by Revelation chapter 14, the counteracting work against the beast. And that is the work of God's people. God will be doing a work to counteract the deception of the papacy in these last days. While the papacy will be rising in civil power, influencing and enforcing different religious dogmas through civil power that's restored to it, there will be a people that will rise up with a message that opposes the papacy. And this will reach its climax in Revelation 18, and this is where we're going to go. Revelation chapter 18. And friends, there's a perfect parallel to this. This is powerful because as the pagan Roman Empire was rising to supremacy, the Caesars, we're going to cover that probably next time or the week after as we continue our study in Daniel 11. Just as pagan Rome was rising in power during the time of the Maccabees and the king of the south and the king of the north, just as it was rising in power and began to dominate the entire world, the entire then known world, it is shown that by the time that Jesus came to our world in the fullness of time, friends, at that very time was the golden age of Rome, we are told. It was the golden age of the Roman Empire, a time when he was born, when Augustus Caesar was ruling, and then later on Tiberius Caesar, one of the most vile kings of the Roman or vile emperors of the Roman Empire. And so, get this, God says, all right, the enemy wants to control the planet. I will send my son to counteract the work of Satan in the world. And that's why Jesus came into the earth. Jesus comes into the world to counteract the work that Satan is doing in the world. And this is why it's a powerful parallel, because it was right at the very noonday of the papacy, or of pagan Rome, the very noonday of pagan Rome, friends. It is right at that very time that Jesus came to the earth. It was in the fullness of time that Jesus came to our planet to counteract the work of Satan through the Roman Empire. Friends, in the same way, when the noonday of the papacy, the continuation of the Roman Empire, is reached at the end of time, that God will raise up a people to represent Christ, that just as Christ did a work counteracting the work of the Roman Empire, in the same way God will raise up a people at the end of time like Christ when Rome once again reaches its zenith to stand against the Roman Empire. Friends, God will do a work, and that work we know as the loud cry. It will be God's people who will give this message, a message that calls people away from the foundation of Rome to the foundation of the remnant. You see, the foundation of the Roman church that will dominate the world at the end of time is righteousness by works, to gain revival by force. But God will then raise up a people that will show that no, revival comes voluntarily when men and women surrender to God voluntarily to be moved by his spirit, right? And at the same time, as that happens, friends, we will then, the people of God will then along with that reveal to the world that, friends, righteousness and salvation comes by grace through faith. And I'm going to read this to you. This is found in Last Day Events, page 198 onwards. God has given the messages of Revelation 14 their place in the line of prophecy. And their work is not to cease till the close of this earth's history. Revelation 18 points to the time when, as the result of rejecting the threefold warning of Revelation 14, verses 6 through 12, the church will have fully reached the condition foretold by the second angel. And the people of God still in Babylon will be called upon to separate from her communion. This message is the last that will ever be given to the world, friends. Can you see then why Babylon then turns on God's people at the end of time? You see, in the days of Christ, friends, the apostate church during Jesus' time united with Rome to turn against him. In the end of time, because of his message, at the end of time, the same thing will happen. The apostate church will unite once again with Rome, just as the Maccabees did with Rome, to turn against God's people. So they will turn against Christ in the person of his people, thinking they're doing God's will. And so it states here, why will they turn against us? Because as we proclaim the last message, think about it, friends, people will start coming out in droves out of these churches to join the ranks of God's people. So can you imagine that? As that happens, Babylon starts losing its resources, and it will be terrified at this, and it will begin to turn against those who are calling people away from the system of deception. Revelation 18, verses 1, 2, and 4, this scripture points forward to a time when the announcement of the fall of Babylon is made by the second angel of Revelation 14, verse 8, is to be repeated, with the additional mention of the corruptions which have been entering the various organizations that constitute Babylon since that message was first given in the summer of 1844. These announcements, uniting with the third angel's message, constitute the final warning to be given to the inhabitants of the earth. So this message that Babylon began to fall started in 1844, in the summer of 1844. The man that started doing this and started recognizing this, his name was Charles Fitch. He began to give this message that the churches, as a result of rejecting the power and glorious truth of the second coming of Jesus, those churches that rejected the joy of meeting their Lord, the message that brought joy of meeting Jesus at his second coming, those churches constituted Babylon. And so since that time, friends, those churches have been falling deeper and deeper into the darkness of the enemy's lies. Now, in light of that, there's coming a time when they will reach the fullness of that darkness, in terms of, in a sense, meaning that they will reach the height of deception. They will be totally deceived. And God's people, during that time, will give such a powerful message that those whose hearts are open will receive the message and get out of that system. He continues by saying, the sins of Babylon will be laid open. The fearful results of enforcing the observances of the church by civil authority, that's church and state, the inroads of spiritualism, the stealthy but rapid progress of the papal power, all will be unmasked. But these solemn warnings, by these solemn warnings, people will be stirred. Thousands upon thousands will listen who have never heard words like these. Can you see that? Can you imagine that? Even though, yes, in comparison to the world, few will come out and be saved, friends, it will be thousands upon thousands. Friends, that's a lot. A lot of people will leave that apostate system and join the ranks of God's people. Just as the disciples in Jesus' day, upon hearing his message, the 3,000 on the day of Pentecost, and even more than that, later on, about 5,000 were converted, and then more and more even after that. In the same way, this will be amplified at the end of time as the message goes to the world. But you remember I mentioned, the thing is, yes, it's true that the sins of Babylon will be laid open, fearful enforcing of the observances of church by civil authority. Yes, that will be proclaimed and made wide open. The inroads of spiritualism, the stealthy but rapid progress of the papal power, all will be unmasked. But friends, that's not the heart of the final message. The heart of the final message is this. What is the foundation of the final message? Several have written to me inquiring if the message of justification by faith is the third angel's message. And I have answered, it is the third angel's message in verity. The Lord, in his great mercy, sent a most precious message to his people through elders E.J. Wagner and A.T. Jones. The message was to bring more prominently before the world the uplifted Savior, the sacrifice for the sins of the whole world. That is the heart of the loud cry. It presented justification through faith, not by works, but through faith in the surety. This is what got the reformers in trouble, by the way. The additional light that A.T. Jones and E.J. Wagner had that made their message all the more powerful, however, was a deeper understanding of righteousness by faith, and also a deeper understanding of righteousness by faith in connection with the sanctuary. The light of the sanctuary had now been revealed. Men were no more to look to Christ as being in the holy place as he was during the time of the Reformation, but it was a call now to look to Christ as he is in the most holy place, a most holy place faith. It presented justification through faith in the surety. It invited the people to receive the righteousness of Christ, which is made manifest, the fruit of it, in obedience to all the commandments of God. Many had lost sight of Jesus. They needed to have their eyes directed to his divine person, his merits, and his changeless love for the human family. All power is given into his hands, that he may dispense rich gifts unto men, imparting the priceless gift of his own righteousness to the helpless human agent. This is the message that God commanded to be given to the world. It is the third angel's message, which is to be proclaimed with a loud voice and attended with the outpouring of his spirit in a large measure. The message of Christ's righteousness is to sound, this is now future, is to sound from one end of the earth to the other to prepare the way of the Lord. This is the glory of God. You remember in Revelation chapter 18 and verse 1 we read, "And after these things I saw another angel come down from heaven having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory." Now if the angel is coming from heaven, then this glory that the angel illuminates the earth with is the glory of God. And what did we just find out was the glory of God? Friends, get this. Even while we will be exposing the papacy, the exposing of the papacy is not the glory of God. The glory of God that is to go to the whole world is this. The message of Christ's righteousness is to sound from one end of the earth to the other, preparing the way of the Lord. This, meaning Christ, the message of Christ's righteousness, this is the glory of God, closes the work of the third angel. So do you realize what closes it? What closes the work, friends, is the message of Christ, our righteousness. If we expose the papacy without connecting that exposure to the message of righteousness by faith in Jesus alone, then, friends, we have only given information. We have not given the final message at its very core. The last message of mercy to be given to the world is a revelation of his character of love. The children of God are to manifest his glory. Not by coincidence, friends, that's what happened in Jesus' day. It's powerful because the parallels are uncanny. The parallels are not by coincidence. Rome, pagan Rome, rises to the zenith of its power. Right as it rises to the zenith of its power, becoming the superpower of the world, Jesus comes the first time as the light of the world to illuminate men's minds concerning darkness. But when does Jesus come? He comes when probation is about to close upon the Jewish nation. That's powerful. In other words, he was the final revelation of love to the Jewish nation as a people, that if they had received it, by the time that their probation closed in 490, at the end of the 490-year prophecy, they would have been ready. But the thing is, their hearts were so hard. And inspiration compares the heart of the Jewish nation at the revelation of the first coming of Jesus to the heart of the people of the world at the end of time, just before our close of probation. So it's interesting. Rome rises to the zenith of its power. Jesus comes, and he comes to give a revelation of God's love just before probation closes for the Jewish people. That happens again in parallel at the end of time. Rome will once again rise to the zenith of its power. At that time, God's people, the person of Christ, the Christ in the person of his people, will now be raised up for this work, this final work, again, just before the close of probation upon now not just the Jewish nation, but upon the world. The last message of mercy to be given to the world is a revelation of his character of love. The children of God are to manifest his glory in their own life and character. They are to reveal what the grace of God has done for them. Notice, it's not just by speaking. It is in our lives that we are to reveal what the grace of God has done. Friends, Rome will once again rise. But the call that God is placing before us is that we must be, just as Jesus counteracted the work of Rome, as it was united with God's people at that time, so are we to stand up against the doctrines and the teachings of apostate Protestantism that has united, that will unite once again with Rome. While they are teaching righteousness by works, we are to teach righteousness by faith. The Bible tells us that as the glory of God fills the earth, that's the message of God's character, fills the earth. It says, in that character then, the people of God revealing that character will have success in calling people out of Babylon. Because Revelation 18 and verse 2 states, and he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and is become the habitation of devils. Can you imagine, after we reveal the character of God's love, now we say this, we expose Babylon. It says, fallen is fallen, and has become the habitation of devils. This is the same as Rome we're exposing. And the hold of every foul spirit and the cage of every unclean and hateful bird. That's evil spirits. So spiritualism is rampant in that church at the moment, at that time. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth, that the civil leaders of the world, have committed fornication with her. In other words, there's a union between church and state, the religious and the civil. And the merchants of the earth, that's the moneyed men, the men who control the markets of the world. They have the money. The traders, those who trade, it says the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. And remember how this abundance of riches or wealth is gained. It is gained at the cost of other people's lives, at the cost of other people starving. Rome gets rich. And the civil leaders that connect with her get rich. Friends, this is happening. It says, and in light of this, what will happen? There'll be a final call. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, in light of the corruption that is within this system, come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. That's referencing the seven last plagues. Friends, what we are seeing in our world today is leading up to this. You know, it's interesting. I would always hear people say, and even sometimes Adventists who are struggling with their faith, probably I don't always blame them for that. I mean, of course, it's always our decision whether we get to know God or not. But sometimes people struggle with their faith because of examples that they've seen, because of people that have hurt them. But many times you hear people saying, well, these things can never happen. The world could never change this drastically. But friends, now people are beginning to realize that while many within our generation have said that we've always heard people say that Jesus is coming, we've always heard these things, that my mother said this, my grandmother said this. But friends, now we're beginning to see that really this thing will happen. Many skeptics are beginning to realize that through the emergency that our world is now facing, whether it be racial tensions, political tensions, wars and rumors of wars, natural disasters, famines taking place in different places, pestilences, as we see these things happening, friends, people are realizing that indeed Jesus is coming. The only way for us to truly be ready is that we have to have an experience with Christ through the Word. And that means to have faith in what Jesus says, to trust in the Scriptures, to believe that God has a plan for us, to believe that God wants to use us in these last days to give the message of salvation to the earth. You see, as Jesus was about to ascend to heaven, Jesus told his disciples, I'm sending you out now to give this final warning to the Jewish nation before their probation closes as a nation. It's not that a Jew can't be saved, but as a nation, God will then bypass them as the chosen people. And so Jesus sends his apostles out one last time fulfill the covenant with the Jewish nation just before their probation closes. And in the sending out of Christ, in Christ sending out his apostles, we can see a parallel of Christ. In Christ sending out his apostles just before the closing of probation for the Jewish nation, we can see a parallel of Christ sending us out just before the close of probation for the world. God wants us to give this message that salvation is by grace through faith in Christ. One day, friends, Rome will do according to its will once again, but there will be a people that counteracts that work. May you stand on the side that counteracts the work. Just let this be our prayer. With that, let's have a closing word of prayer. Father in heaven, I pray that this message made sense. Father, I pray that we will not stand on the losing side. As these things are taking place in the world, Lord, I see many either coming to the faith or many losing their faith or many souls being weighed in the balance. Some people are wondering, how could our church not stand against certain things? And Lord, while our church should, because in certain cases our church is not, many people are beginning to lose faith and they're beginning to jump ship. But Lord, may we not leave the ship. May we stay with the ship, Lord, until it reaches the shore. I pray and I ask these things, Lord, in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Brother Akeem, for this message. And I want to just thank you for sharing this with us, showing us that God is love and that we just don't be pounding people with that three angels message. And as I do, you know, just telling people about the three angels message and all these other things to come. And, you know, we forget about the love of God. And, you know, I will keep that in mind at the end of my conversation, letting them know that God is love and showing in the Bible where it says in 1 John 4, it says in verse 8, he says, He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. And when I read that, you know, of course, I thought about it. Of course God's going to end this in love. It's not about, it's all about love. Because as I read, we hear of the love of God, how he shows us. So thank you, Brother Akeem, for bringing this to us and just bringing us a bit more understanding. Not just the three angels message so much, pounding and pounding, but the love of God. So thank you, brothers and sisters, for coming on and listening to this message. Our brother Akeem, he come on. He's going to be coming on from now on because people are finished at 7:30. So we are trying to finish on Sunday night at 7:30. So we start, by God's grace, at 6, and we try to finish at, 7 Eastern time, and we kind of finish at 8:30 Eastern time. So when we are in the Central time, we start at 6 o'clock, and by that time, 7:30. So we are our differences, and brothers, so please be mindful of that for me. And Brother Akeem usually on somewhere between 6:30 and 6:40. So if you can join us at that time, I don't want to hear it because some people that come on to listen to Brother Akeem and, you know, you missed a whole lot. So please catch us next time by 6:30, 6:40. He'll be on. So thank you so much for coming on and listening to this message because this is getting us ready for these days to come. So we ask that you would join us tomorrow. We study Great Controversy on Monday, and it's such a powerful information. So Monday, the same time, brothers and sisters, you can come on Great Controversy. I will give the number, and the number is 707. Give me just a second. Let me get the number for the Great Controversy. Let me get it right quick. The number for the Great Controversy, you dial 701-802. and then you dial 5108. And then there is a code, 7525820. Let me call it back to you again. On Monday night, Eastern time is 7 o'clock to 8:30. So the number again is 701-802-5108. The code is 7525820, and you can join us on tomorrow night for the Great Controversy. So, brothers and sisters, as we close, we thank you for joining us once again. May God bless you, and we are here for you tomorrow if you don't mind joining us. God bless. Thank you again, Brother Akeem. You have a blessed evening.
See you.